Welcome, everyone, wherever you are. We're all learning new things every day. And we have some very good people in our studio today to help us talk about this. We have one of our editors from the Studio Classroom magazine and educationalists. We have Linda Ludwig today. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here again. I think this is a very important topic.
It is a very important topic because we need to keep learning new things, don't we?
Right. And it's not as hard as you may think.
Okay. And then we have Pauline, and you were here with us yesterday. Pauline, what did we talk about yesterday?
Well, we started to learn some good techniques for learning, ways that maybe we think we should learn that aren't as helpful. For example, one of the things we learned is that we need to space out our learning. Instead of sitting down and trying to tackle it all at once, it's important to take breaks and space it out. So we've already learned a few really good tips, and I think there's some more good ones to come.
Well, there are. In fact, there's 8 tips. That's almost too many to remember, but it's good to go over them. And Joshua, we're glad you're with us today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here today. And I am also what I like to call a lifelong learner. And I am always looking for good tips in order to be able to increase my efficiency at learning.
So as we go over these, and as you listen in wherever you are, you think about which ones of these might be useful to you. The first 3 were very good, and we had a good discussion on them yesterday, didn't we?
We did.
So, Pauline, where are we going to start today now?
Today we are starting at the top of page 27, and we're going to start with number 4, switch between study topics.
Four, switch between study topics. Research shows that if you need to study different related areas, such as different piano pieces, scales, or arpeggios, it's better to mix up your study of the different areas. In the same amount of study time, you'll learn more. People's intuitions tell them that they should work on one thing until they've learned it, and then go on to another component. But that's far from optimal, Bjork says.
I found this quite interesting that you should switch between study topics. Usually we think that, okay, we're going to pick this topic and we're going to study everything we need to know about it, and then we'll go on to another topic. But they use a couple of piano terms here. So if you're going to practice scales, and a scale is where you go up, ascend, or go down on your piano or musical notes when you're either singing or playing, and also arpeggios, the notes of a musical chord are played separately instead of together. So if you're studying scales or those, it's better if you mix them up when you're trying to study piano and not just do one for an hour and then do the next one for an hour. And I think that's true with anything that we study. It makes it more interesting as well.
It is true. Even if you're practicing tennis or something, first you stretch and then you do this. You don't just sit there and try to hit the ball all the time. Whatever you do, you kind of mix it up, don't you?
I find I get a little bit bored if I really focus on just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes it really hard to really focus on what I'm trying to work on. So when I'm working on music, for example, if I'm working on a new scale, I always have to take a break and work on something in between, or else I just lose it in the middle of it.
Plus, I think we learned yesterday that if we give ourselves a break between the thing we're learning, it actually gives us a moment to halfway forget it and then have to recall it again. So it's actually better practice for our minds to go away from it, come back, go away from it, come back. So I think that's a nice way to do it by just switching between a few different things that you're learning. Also, just a reminder, Bjork is the person who they're quoting here, and that refers back to yesterday. He is a psychology professor at UCLA where they have a learning and forgetting lab. So they're doing some real rigorous study on what's the best way to learn and how to prevent forgetting everything that we're trying to learn.
Well, we talked about coming back to something and stopping something. And over here in line 5, it says that our intuitions sometimes tell us when it's time to change. Now, this is rather interesting because an intuition is what, actually?
Well, it's a feeling that you have of something that you should do naturally.
enough. I've had enough of that, right?
Right.
You know it when you've had enough, right?
And I think that this is, I like this sentence. I think it's very true. It says that our intuitions tell them we should work on one thing at a time. So to break it up and do like this and then do something else and come back again kind of goes against our intuition. We feel we should stick to it until we've got it.
But sometimes it tells you you should just hang in there. But then if you go to another, it says a component, which is just another type of thing or another section of something, then it says it's far from optimal. What does that mean? That's what Doris said.
Well, optimal in this case really means sort of like the most efficient or the best or the methods that's going to get you the best results, really, mm-hmm. the optimal results.
So what they're saying here is that our intuition actually misleads us a little bit. It tells us that we should just focus on this one thing until we got it.
Right.
But he's saying that's not actually optimal. That's not the best way to do it. We should go ahead and switch up the components of learning so that we can give ourselves a break and space them out a little bit as well.
So it's okay to do that. Remember, tell yourself that it's okay.
I think the important concept for this one also is that when it says to go to another component, it has to do with the same topic.
Yes.
It's just another section of that same topic. So it's not like I'm studying math for 5 minutes and now I'm going to do English and then I'm going to come back and put it back
another
together.
Another part
again.
Of it. Right.
So that's why they gave this example of piano pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They all have to do with piano.
Right. That's true.
It's very true. And I find that, well, they say practice makes perfect, which is true. You do have to practice over and over again in order to really refine or to better what your performance is going to be. But I also like that in this case they're saying that, well, practice, but practice different aspects of it. So you're not just trying to do the same thing over and over again, but you're taking it from different angles. And apparently it really helps you learn and perform better.
That's true with a lot of things that we do. So that's number four. So we think that's a good idea, don't we?
I think so.
Definitely.
What about number five?
Well, so I think it's time. Let's go on to number five. I think we have a reading for that. It is on being attentive.
Five, be attentive. The example I give is when you are introduced to someone and a minute later you can't remember their name, says Zach Hambrick, a psychology professor and head of the expertise lab at Michigan State University. You think, oh, I forgot their name already. You actually didn't forget it. You never encoded it in the first place.
Okay, another good tip with a very practical example. I'm sure many of you have experienced this before. I know I have.
When
you meet somebody new and then just a minute later you realize you don't remember their name.
Yeah, who are you? Goodness. Don't we all have that problem?
It happens all the time to me, and it's very embarrassing sometimes.
Because we meet so many people, you know, and how come we can't remember their names?
It's people will introduce themselves, and I'll do my best to try and take it in, but I'll find quite commonly, like 5 seconds later, it's out of my head.
I think it's very interesting what Zach Hambrick had to say about this. He's like, you didn't forget it, you never encoded it, which means if the title of this is Be Attentive, it means you need to really listen carefully, and are we? I think I am.
Do you try?
Well, I do, but often when you're in an introduction moment, you haven't quite gotten yourself fully into that conversation. You might still be halfway thinking about something else, and usually when they tell you their name, it's right at the very beginning, so you maybe haven't gotten yourself focused yet. So I think it's a good reminder that, for me anyways, that I need to put a little extra effort into bringing my mind to that moment more quickly so that I can really lock into that name, because it is important to remember names as much as we can.
It is very important, and I have to say that this idea of not having encoded it into your head is something that I had to focus on, especially working in guest services, because you meet people all the time very quickly and they introduce themselves and you want to be able to refer to them by name later. So it's not so much it's definitely being attentive and paying attention, but it's also being attentive to what it takes in order to be able to encode that name into your brain, which sometimes is difficult. It really is.
I know that one of the tricks to remembering people's names, and this has been done to me, is somebody says your name like 5 times in the next 5 minutes, you know, when they're talking to you. I frankly found it kind of irritating because I knew exactly what they were trying to do. But, you know, when somebody says your name so much, you know, it's also like, really?
Right.
So, but yeah. I think that there are, you know, we need to do what works for us to do to accomplish this.
Yeah, they also say you can make word associations in your head, maybe match it up.
I tried all that.
I know. I know. It doesn't always work, but at least you're being intentional about it, right? And then you know you really did just forget, and we're all human. We're going to forget sometimes, but it's not just because you didn't care or you didn't pay attention. You really put some effort into it. And I think the more effort we put in, the more often we'll be able to remember, even if it's not 100%.
Well, we'll try. We have to pay attention to be attentive. That's true. But I think number 6 is kind of an important one. If you really want to learn something, I think you have to concentrate by doing what number 6 says. What do you think?
I agree. In fact, I don't think you can be attentive without doing number 6. So let's listen and see if you think that's true, too.
Six, eliminate distractions. According to Hambrick, even momentary disruptions can interrupt your train of thought and inhibit learning. This is not just when you have a phone conversation and do something else at the same time. It can even be just the act of hitting silence when your phone comes on, Hambrick says. So close your email, silence your notifications, and turn off your phone completely when you want to learn.
George, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm guilty of this. So I have been characterized as a style of learning that gets very distracted very easily, but then sometimes needs distractions in order to be able to focus. So I find this very true. I will definitely multitask. I'll have different things going on at once, and sometimes I'll just be in the middle of something and realize I have no idea what's going on.
Well, Pauline, what do you think about this? What about your train of thought? That's kind of an expression that we often talk about. What is our train of thought?
It's the direction your thought is going, wherever you're going with your thoughts, and if it's interrupted, then suddenly your train of thought is going a different direction. It's going somewhere else. So you lost that focus on what you were trying to learn, and now you've got a lot of things going on.
Yes, and if that happens, then it says it inhibits learning, and that just means if you inhibit something, it means you prevent it from happening. So if you, that's why when Josh had no idea what he was doing when he was doing several things, because his train of thought was inhibited.
Exactly.
So you kind of have to backtrack or go
back.
What
about multitracking?
Multitasking?
Yeah. That's okay sometimes. Sometimes you have to listen to the phone. And
I think there's multitasking and multitasking.
This is very true. There is definitely multitasking and multitasking. Now, there are some times where I'm very, very, very conscientious about the types of ways that I multitask. I can be very effective that way. But if I don't really pay some attention to how my focus is being divided, then I get very distracted and I can lose my train of thought.
But this has to do, remember, with learning new job skills.
That's true.
So,
yes.
You know, I think you can multitask on things we're familiar with.
Right.
But if you're trying to learn a new skill or learn something new, then it's a different story.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to say. I think it's quite different when we're talking about learning or tasks that we already know how to do.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good point then.
And going back to number 5, to be attentive, I think it's almost impossible to be truly attentive if we're distracted by a lot of other things. So those go very well hand in hand.
So what I've found is, as a tactic for myself in order to be successful at this particular thing, because my mind wants to go different directions and do different things at the same time, if I put on a piece of classical music that I'm very familiar with in the background and sort of let that fill up the background space, then it allows me to focus on whatever I have in front of me, and then I don't get so distracted by other noises, phones, anything like that. And then I know that there's something going on that I recognize familiar with, kind of fills that empty space, and allows me to not get so distracted by new things that walk in.
That's when you're doing something you know how to do. But what if you're learning new skills? Maybe you shouldn't even put the classical music on if you're learning new skills.
Well, actually, Doris, they've done some studies that say that classical music can really help with learning.
Can
that it's actually a positive thing.
But you better pay attention to the one teaching you, though.
You have to be able to pay attention. That's the trick. If you have any sort of distraction that's provided by the music, then it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that, too. It's kind of hard to say, you know, but depends on what you're learning, doesn't it, really? Yeah, what type of skills, right?
That's also true. If you're learning a new musical piece and you're playing a different classical piece, that's not going
to be too hard. Yeah, but these are just hints and they're little ideas that we can do. But, you know, sometimes it says that we get too involved with the phone and the email and stuff. So you should turn it off when you're trying to do something new. And a lot of times we don't do that.
Yeah, and another idiom that comes to mind is we want to do that so we're not thrown off track. We use the train of thought, talking about going in one direction with a picture of a train, that we want to be focused in our train of thought on the thing we're trying to learn. And if we let distractions come in, it can throw us off track. We say it gets us off in the wrong direction. So that's a nice little idiom that goes along with that.
Right, your train is changing direction.
Yep.
So to eliminate just means to get rid of, try to get rid of the distractions, and that's still a very good idea. It's a good point, isn't it, to do that?
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we go on to number 7?
Okay.
All right.
Seven. Vary where you study. According to Bjork, research shows that if you study something once in your living room, and once in a coffee shop, you'll learn better than if you study twice in one location. You're in a new place and you will interpret it somewhat differently just because you're in a new context. That helps later recall, Bjork says.
Oh man, I am so excited about this one. And I'm extra excited that my husband Josh is sitting here to hear it. Oh. I'm sure you're all wondering why, but this is because I love to study in coffee shops. It is my favorite
Linda
setting.
Linda does too, I tell you.
Do you, Linda? Yes. I love it. I think for me, I am just really social. And so even just having social energy happening around me that I'm not necessarily going to get sucked into, that just helps me stay focused and have that energy going while I do my thing. But Josh doesn't really like it, so I'm excited that he got to hear that this is scientifically shown to be a helpful technique.
But some people can't study in coffee shops because they just see all the other people coming in and their conversations, and everybody's different. Some people need to go to the library or the park or something.
That's very true, and that's part of the reason why I'm very excited about this part of the article, too, because it says you can't just go to the same place and study every time. It actually is very helpful for recall if you change it up a little bit.
So every coffee shop in the city.
I like to go to the park and watch the birds and things like that, too, you know. But everybody has a different place. But, you know, sometimes you do see things differently if you're in a different place, don't you think?
Definitely. And I think it also helps me when I'm working on something to also try and do it at different times of the day, different places. If I'm working on something that I want to memorize, if I have a chance to really sit down and focus on it in a quiet spot, but then also, like, maybe in the subway, take a look at it real quick, or maybe at lunch, take a look at it real quick. I do think that overall, it really does help me remember easier and better.
Yeah, I do that. Like, if I'm going to be giving a talk or something, I always look at it later, like on my way there. I mean, I've already prepared it, but then I review it on the train. It's a totally different environment if I'm going somewhere else outside of the city. And I think it's very interesting what Bjork says here. He says that you're in a new place and you will interpret it differently. I think that's fascinating because you're in a new context. Have you ever thought of it that way?
Not really.
Yeah, I never thought about that either. But he says that it's that fact in particular that helps you later recall it because you've seen it in a new light and you've seen it a few different ways. Something about our brain then that helps it to recall it. So that's good to know.
I was just thinking that, you know, the title here is the learning new job skills. So there's learning is one thing, but learning, like, for instance, some subject that you're trying to learn or memorize, or learning a job skill. So it kind of depends on what you're learning. Some things, you know, you need to be in a certain place where you can use that skill.
That's a good point. And actually, as you said that, I thought, well, that's really particularly true, though, of a hands-on skill. If you're getting to practice it in one context and then you practice it in a different context where you have to adapt it slightly, then you're really taking that skill on to a deeper level. You're learning it in different ways. I think that definitely is true. If you are learning how to do a new, for example, maybe a new activity that I'm learning how to lead in a classroom. If I am practicing that with one group of people, a small group, and then I go do it in a large group or with younger kids, every time I do it in a different context, I learn something new about how to do it, and I expand my learning.
So that's what I'm thinking here. There's so many kinds of job skills, so it depends a lot on what kind of job skill you're thinking about. Isn't that right?
But I think we have to go back to the very beginning of the article from yesterday. It says, these are ways you can learn and retain more knowledge more quickly.
Right.
So it doesn't have to do, right. I mean, I think that this is aside from the practice part of it. This is learning that initial, what you're trying to learn. And
knowledge.
The knowledge part of it and how to remember it.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they are really focusing on that initial part where you're doing maybe more of the classic book study, getting that knowledge or preparing your lessons or that kind of thing where you're learning how to do it before you actually go out.
There's two different things.
Right. I think we're talking at it from two different points of view, because obviously we need to practice what we've been learning. And also the whole first paragraph talks about getting outside of the classroom. So this is really talking about just, you know, to me it's the initial learning information kind of thing.
Yeah. That's true, getting the information down. Wow. Well, we still have one more point, don't we?
We do, and it's an important one I don't think we should leave out, so let's go ahead and listen to that.
Eight, make study a habit. You'll need to revisit complicated skills and knowledge to retain them if you don't use them regularly. But the study doesn't have to be intimidating or particularly time-consuming. Just set yourself a schedule. Say, here are the things I need to do, Rodiger says, and every day, just spend 5 minutes refreshing one of them. Go back over material you've already mastered to make sure you can still produce it when you need to.
All right, so our last tip is to make study a habit. And I think what they're really pointing out here is even once you've finished doing this initial studying of a topic and you think you have it, you don't want to just let it go and never go back to it. That we want to make learning a lifelong endeavor and make sure that we are incorporating habits in our life that help us maintain, retain the information that we put so much work into to gain in the first place.
Remember what we said, like the first day, that, you know, you can do something every week and then every month. You can't always keep retaining everything because there's not enough time. So first you did it more often and then less often, but you still do it, maybe once a month or something like that. Otherwise, you know, you can't get new skills because you're just going over and reviewing the old ones. So you have to make way for new things to remember too, but still go back and review the others. Like, look at your old magazines and see what you underlined and go over those from last year, but you can't do that all the time, right?
It's very true. And I think, you know, this idea of being in the practice of getting into sort of a random recall, you know, once you've learned something, to go back at random points and see if you can test yourself, really. I think that really is very helpful and a very good habit to be in, but it's very difficult to do that for everything that you've learned. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Although it is nice if you have, going all the way back to tip number one, if you're the kind of person who likes to make flashcards when you're learning a new subject, if you do have those, or if you have them saved on your phone, if you have digital flashcards, then you have a big base of old, you know, work that you've done, and you could randomly pull from that and use that as a check on yourself later.
Right, and also, I thought it was kind of interesting yesterday when they were talking about, you know, trying to remember all the state names and capitals. This is a class.
We said, who wants to do that anyway?
But, you know, I remember them.
Do you?
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, when I take random tests on, you know, Facebook or something, it's kind of, I mean, I always amaze myself, or I'm a very good guesser.
Mm.
But I think that this is very, I mean, that's just an example.
Sure.
To get to learn them all, he says, if you just do this once a month for the rest of your life, you know, you'll keep them forever.
Oh, that's true. I try to go over old poems and things I learned in grade school, and I can still say them because you just review them. And but if you don't go over them, then you do forget them.
That's right. Exactly right, yeah.
That's why I can barely do algebra anymore.
I know.
Well, anyway, I guess our time's almost up. But the main ones, I think, to remember are that we have to review things to retain them. We have to go over them again some way or another.
Right. And also, don't try to learn everything at one time. You know, you can take a break. Enjoy your cup of coffee. Come back.
And do yourself a favor. Get yourself in the right context to be able to learn well. Put yourself in a place that you know you won't be distracted and you can be attentive.
You mean like a coffee shop?
Exactly.
And that you have to mix it up a little bit.
Yes.
If you really want to efficiently learn something, be able to recall it at different times of day, different places, and then go back and look at it again in a little bit later.
So think about these things. It's interesting, and the language is not too difficult, but the ideas are good. And so in learning a language or doing something that you do, just remember to retain it. You have to keep using it. Use it or lose it, right?
Use it
right.
Or lose it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And thanks for being with us, all of you people, today.
Thank you.
See you again for the next program.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.